How are you all doing this evening? Very, very thankful to be here tonight. Thank you so much for inviting us. Oh, I have to turn on the mic. Don't I forget about that. Okay, is that on? Okay, thank you all so much for having us here. So, first of all, let me present ourselves. My wife's name's Mary Angela. She is originally from the Philippines, but God saved her there, and then she came to the States, and then we met. My name's Miguel, and I was born in Colombia, but I also came to the States, and we met at our church at Vision Baptist Church in Alpharetta, Georgia. And thanks to God, now we have a little one. So y'all have been praying since about 5 years we came. We asked y'all to pray for God to give us a little one, and he is here. He's not here right now. I think he's in the nursery. Hopefully he's not making too much trouble over there. But we're very thankful. His name is Philip. And we're very thankful, God. Thank you so much for having us here. Thank you, Pastor. Let me just say a little bit about what God has done. And then I got to thank y'all again because y'all have been so good to us, and we thank God for y'all. Thanks to God, we were here about 5 years ago raising support. Y'all have been supporting us since then, and it has been a great blessing to us. We were able to get to the field in 2018, middle of 2018. And since then, God has blessed. We're able to start two churches in that time since then. And we came back a few weeks ago from Colombia. And so we're a little bit fresh, a little bit of a culture shock coming back. But we're excited to be back. And just a few things from what God has done. And so that you know what abounds also to your account because of y'all's support of the ministry. God has seen people saved, discipled. And those people have been discipled after they got saved. They are discipling others, and they're multiplying. And some of them are also have been called to the ministry. And those we train to start churches, and Lord willing, more churches will come from that in the near future. So all this fruit is fruit that abounds to your account. So we're very thankful, God. Like I said, I have to thank you again. I really do. Because if it wasn't for y'all and for God blessing y'all and blessing us, we wouldn't be able to do what we did in Colombia, and we're very thankful, God, for that. Right now, because of all this, there are two churches that are preaching the Word of God. There are two churches that are going out and taking the gospel people, discipling people, and we're not there, so they're doing it. And it's all thanks to God, thanks to y'all for supporting us. So thank you so much. Thank you for having us here and a place to stay for the night. We're all very blessed. Thank you so much. But let's go to God's Word. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Thank you so much, Pastor, for the opportunity to preach. I have not preached in English in a very long time, about five years. So if I say a word in Spanish, please forgive me. I did not mean to say it in Spanish. I meant to say it in English. But 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we'll go to a passage in the Bible that is very common to us. But something that we were able to teach while we were there in Colombia was about what God does in our lives, right? I think I heard a brother that when he was giving the testimony about the change that God does in our lives and thankful for where he brought us from to where we are when where he's going to take us next. And so something that I was very excited about before I even went to Colombia, we were praying for God to show us his power in our lives, and not only in our lives, but in other people's lives, and how he changed people's lives. And so I can tell you so many stories of what God has done. And I don't want to that many because I will start crying, but God has been so good. I can tell you a story of Hermana Beatriz, Sister Beatriz, who before we got there, she was very confused in religion. She was in a religion where they told her, if you don't show signs and you don't speak in tongues, then God's not really lives in you, and God doesn't really want to use you, and maybe you don't really love God. And so she was so confused, so frustrated, and she wanted to see God work in his life, but in her life, but she couldn't speak in tongues. And eventually she found out about our church. She came to church. We started showing her what the Bible said. She got saved. And she started living her Christian life. And she said, this makes sense. And God started working in her life. Her marriage was a mess. But God even fixed that. And she has a wonderful marriage now. And God's still working in her life. I can tell you a story about Jason. Jason was this guy that started coming with a friend of his name is Duvon, and I'll tell you about both of them. Duvon is now the pastor of the first church. Jason is the pastor of the second church. But Jason, when he started coming, he had this big, long hair, and it was purple. And when I looked at him, when you and I look at him at the beginning, we look at someone like that, and we say, there's no way. There is no way. And he had piercings here, and he had piercings here, piercings everywhere. And he started coming around, and I started trying to grab him and say, come on, I need to show you something. And he would kind of pull away. But a few years after, Duvon, who was his very good friend, who was the pastor of the first church, he started doing Bible study with him. And God worked there. Jason got saved. And now he's pastoring a second church. But now, if you look at him, you could never tell that was the same person before. So something that's been super exciting, very exciting in our lives in Colombia, is to see what God can do. And so God, when we go to God, when we trust in him, there's a change that happens. And that's what we see in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 through 21, if you can follow me there in your Bibles. The Bible says this, therefore, if any man be in Christ, it says he is a new creature, right? The Bible continues, says, all things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Verse 18, and all things, what's it say right here? You can say with me, are of God. This is very important. Who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, what that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Verse 20 and 21, we're finished there. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. And though God did beseech you by us, we pray you, and Christ said, be ye reconciled to God. Verse 21, for he hath made him to be sin. That's talking about Jesus Christ. For us, who knew no sin, he knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And that's our message. That last verse, that's the message that changes people. When people believe that message right there, that Jesus came to save us and to give us a new life, right? That's what changes our lives. And that's what changed many people's lives. That's what changed your life. That's what changed people's lives in Colombia. And that's where we went, because we wanted to see what God could do, and God did great things. So tonight we'll talk a little bit about this, and in the title of the message is, there's a change that comes from God. There's a change that comes from God. And so first of all, I would like to, point number one is, I would like for you to examine yourself. Because if you've trusted in Christ, right, like the Bible says here, if Christ lives within you, like it says in Galatians 2:20, right, then there has to be a change. There should have been a change. If there's no change, you need to examine. You need to see, okay, have I really trusted in Christ? Because if you trust in him, there is a change. That's what the Bible says right here. All things are become new. There has to be a change. So I hope there's a change in your life, because when somebody trusts in Christ, there's a change. It's a 180-degree change, right? Not 360. Because I made that mistake before. I said 360. No. Because 360, you go back to the same place you got, right? But 180 degrees is complete. You should be completely the opposite of who you were before. That's what happened with Jason. That's what happened with a lot of people there in Colombia. With Duvon, who's the pastor. He didn't know anything about God. But when he found out about God, God started working mightily in his life. And the same thing with us. Before we were sinners, when we trusted in Christ, now we're no longer sinners. We're just. We're the just, because he changed who we are. God now looks at you and he says, oh, you're free of sin. No sin on your account, right? You're a saint. If you before identified because you used to drink or you used to get drunk, now you live a holy life, a godly life, right? There's a change when you trust in Christ. Go with me to Matthew chapter 9, verse 11 through 13. Matthew chapter 9. Verse 11 through 13. And here we see Jesus with the Pharisees explaining some things here. Very important. And look at what the story says. Matthew chapter 9, verse number 11 through 13. The Bible says the following. And when the Pharisees saw it, because this is when Jesus, he told Matthew, okay, bring the people, the sinners, bring in, we're going to have them, invite them over. I want to show them who I am. Verse number 11 says, and when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto the disciples, why eateth your master with publicans and sinners? But when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, they that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. But verse number 13 right here says, but go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice, for I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners, what's it say right there? To repentance, right? In this story, everybody was bad. Everybody's a sinner. But the Pharisees came to Jesus and they said, why, to the disciples, why is he eating with them? They're wrong. They're doing wrong. They did not understand what Jesus was trying to tell them here. Jesus was trying to tell them, hey, we're all wrong. We all need help, right? I came to save those that realize that they need help. And so that's why, number one, I hope you examine yourself. I hope in your life you have realized and you have examined yourself and said, God, I know I'm a sinner. I know I need change. I know I need for you to save me, because that's what Jesus was trying to tell them in that story. He was trying to tell them, hey, you guys, you Pharisees, you need to know you're wrong. You need to know you need to be saved, right? There needs to be a change that hadn't been a change in their lives. Go with me to Psalm 139 and verse number 23. Look at what the psalmist says here. There has to be a change, right? You need to examine yourself and say, hey, has there been a change in my life? David recognized something very important here. And I think you and I have been in that same place, right? Where we know there's something wrong and we need God's help to help us recognize that. But we know, when we examine ourselves, we know there's something wrong. But David here shows us something very important. Look at what he says in verse number 23 and verse number 24. Psalm 139, verse 23 and verse 24. Look at what it says. It says, search me. What does it say there? Oh God. So here the psalmist is saying, please search me, right? And know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. Verse number 24, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. David here recognized who he was. He knew there was something wrong. He knew he was a sinner. He recognized there were things that needed to be changed. And that's why he went to God and said, God, help me see it. Help me realize this. So I have a question for you tonight. Have you gone to God in prayer so that he helps you recognize, so that he helps you examine yourself, so that you realize, hey, there's something there that needs to change? Because there's something that needs to change, right? There's something that needs to change. You must be honest with yourself. And if you already recognize that there's things in your life that need to change, have you repented of them? Have you looked at those things in your life and said, okay, that doesn't need to be in my life? Maybe there's wrath in your heart, hatred. Maybe there's pride in your heart. Maybe you lie from time to time and you need to change that. You must be honest with yourself and go to God and say, God, this needs to change. This can't continue to be there in my heart, right? Something that I've taught my son, little Felipe, if you see him walking around, he's exploring everything. And so that's why apologize to Pastor ahead of time. I said, Pastor, if he does something, I am so sorry. But he is going around and playing with everything. So now we've taught him. We've gotten to the point where we've taught him. We see an outlet, electrical outlet. And when he sees it, he goes over to the outlet and he says, no, 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 no. You know why he does that, right? Because we told him, hey, Felipe, that's wrong. You don't touch those. Don't put your finger there. I know it's very tempting. Don't put your finger there. So you and I need to do something like that with our lives. Need to examine our lives and say, okay, what is there in my life that I need to go and say, no, 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 no. That should not be there, right? We need to examine our lives, right? And God can help us with that. God can help us. He wants us to change. He wants there to be a change, right? So number one, have you examined your life? That's very important. Number two, go back with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Pipe is learning. There are things in his life that he is realizing, okay, I shouldn't do this. And so there's a lot of no's, and we're trying to actually teach him to say yes, because now he only says no to everything. So that's not, didn't work out quite well there. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 and 18. The Bible says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. It says, all things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And then it says, all things are of something that we usually sometimes forget in our Christian life. And this is something I have to remind the people in Colombia too. And I remind myself, the change comes from God. The change comes from God, right? When Paul wrote this, he wanted them to realize it and think about it and say, okay, we all want to change it. There has to be a change, but where does that change come from, right? And so Paul is trying to show them clearly the change comes from God and not ourselves. Let me ask you a question. Have you wanted to change something in your life? First of all, you need to trust in Christ. If you have not taken that step in your life, number one. But number two, as a Christian now, have you looked at your life and said, okay, I need to change that. Maybe there's something that needs to change. Maybe there's something you want to stop your life, stop yourself from doing. Maybe there's a little bit of explosiveness, you know. In our marriage, we have a great marriage. So don't get me wrong. But sometimes it gets to the point where we want to explode. But we shouldn't do that. We shouldn't explode. And so I remember along my marriage, I've learned, okay, no explosions. We need to talk it out. We need to solve it. And we've gotten to the point where we solve most of the things. Some things we just say, okay, let's just go on our ways. We're good to go. But maybe you're a little bit explosive. And being a Christian, explosive shouldn't be there, right? We need to be people that are peaceful, understanding, right? God helps us to calm down and think things through and understand things. And we're people that we're not looking to be understood, that everybody understands me, but we're people that look to understand others, right? Maybe there's something like that that needs to change. Maybe you're very negative. That's not us Christians either, right? We always look forward to what God's going to do. No matter what happens, we know that God's going to work all things to our good, and we know that. And so maybe that needs to change. Maybe there's fear in your life that needs to change, right? We're not supposed to be people that are always fearing and trembling because of things that happen. We know that God's on our side. If God be for us, then who can be against us, right? We don't need to be trembling, right? Maybe there's something that you need to change in your life. How many times, let me ask you a question, how many times have you tried to change these things in your life? Probably many times, right? And you keep trying and trying and trying, and for some reason it doesn't change. Well, here's the reason. The reason why we don't change is because we've been trying to change things in our life with our own strength, with our own wisdom, right? And that's wrong. We need to go to God so that we can change, right? He helped us change the first thing, most important, our whole life, our eternity, right? He changed. All things are become new, right? He helped us with that first step. He's going to continue to help us along the way. He's the one that does the change, right? Look at what it says, Philippians chapter 1, verse number 6. Go with me here. Philippians chapter 1, verse number 6. And we're going to see how the Bible shows us very clearly that change doesn't come from us. The change comes from God. The change comes from God. And you and I as Christians need to realize that. I can't change anybody. You know, a lot of times, and as pastor, you know this, people say, pastor, that person needs to change. Can you do it? And I say to people in Colombia, I can't change them. I can show them what the Bible says. I can pray for them. I can guide them. But God's the one that changes hearts, right? He's the one that does the change in them. Philippians chapter 1, verse number 6, the Bible says, being confident, Paul is saying, this is completely sure, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. Who begun that work? God, Jesus. He begun that work. and he's going to continue it. He's going to perfect it until the day of Jesus Christ. God's the one that started that work. God's the one that's going to continue with that work, right? Go to me to Psalm chapter 51, Psalm 51, verse number 10. The psalmist knew this too. I love the psalms. You know why? Because they're just, the psalmists, they're just people like you and I. And they're telling us their story. They're telling us what's going through their mind. And they know this. They know, and they show us, God, help me with my life. God, help me with who I am. I don't want to be the same person I was before. And they know he is the one that can help them, right? They need to go to him. Psalm 51, verse number 10. Look at what the Bible says right here. This is the psalmist. Look at what he says. He says, create in me, what does it say right there? A clean heart, right? Who creates it? Oh, God, you do it, right? And renew a right spirit within me. God's the one that changes the heart. God's the one that helps us to change, right? It's very important to know this. There's an expression in Colombia, and I don't even know if this translates, so I have not preached this, nothing in English. But the expression is, el que sabe, sabe, which means the one who knows, knows. It's that simple. And so that what that means is, if you need help with your car, don't come ask me. I'm horrible with cars. I can change an oil, right? But if there's other problems, don't come to me. I don't know that much about cars. I know who I'm going to go to. The mechanic. Hopefully he's a good mechanic, right? Because he knows, right? And so if you need help with cooking something tonight for the Super Bowl that you have, don't come to me. I can help you cook eggs. They'll probably turn out really badly. I'm very thankful for my wife, right? She cooks very well. And so I'll probably go to my wife, right, if I need to cook something. So here it is. If you need help with your life, who is the expert? Not me and not you. You know who the expert is with our lives? He is. He is the one that created us. He is the one that made us just how we are, right? He is the one that knows every single hair that we have on our head. He knows us better than anybody. So if we need an expert to go to, who do we need to go to change things in our lives? God. He's the one that helps us, right? It's very important that we realize that he is the one that works in our lives. Go with me to Ephesians chapter 3, verse number 20. Ephesians chapter 3, verse number 20. I promise you, you'll be going home soon to see the Super Bowl. Very important. I know that. But Ephesians chapter 3, verse number 20, the Bible shows us something very clear here. There's someone that's very powerful, somebody that's very, that's all-knowing, somebody that can do great and mighty things. When you are at a point in your life where you say, I've done everything, I've tried everything. No, you haven't. Because you need to go to that one that can actually do it. Right? Ephesians chapter 3, verse number 20, the Bible says this. Now unto him, what does it say? That is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. This verse, when I read it in English, sometimes I say, I'm not trying for it to end. Right? But it is a long description of what he can do. Because the Bible, when God put this here, right, he's trying to show you and I can do it. Trust me. Because we have a problem with trusting him. But he's saying, I can do it. That's why it takes so long. Look, I'll go again. 3:20. Look at what it says. Now unto him that is able to do. Should have been more than enough right there. Right? But no, he doesn't stop there. He's like, okay, I need you to trust me. Now that he is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. He, right? And he's trying to show us in that verse, hey, I can do it. If you come to me, I can help you. No matter what, I'm all-knowing. I'm all-powerful. I can be anywhere. I can do it. I am God. So, when you need change in your life, you need to go to God. He's the one that can help you. He's the one that has changed your life completely. He wants to continue working in you. When we go to Him and we obey Him, when we go to Him and we do His will, when we go to Him and we read His word, we study it, we pray over it, and we do what it says, He says, I can change. I can change you. Not He changes. I can change you. I can work in your life, right? So, a few questions here. Have you understood that the change comes from God? This is very important. He can change your life. He can give you a new life. In that new life that is being worked on, He can continue to work on it. He will perfection. He is the one that helps us to change, right? This is very important. Number three, go with me back to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. So number one, you must examine yourself. Number two, very importantly, you need to know that the change comes from God. Number three, He gives us a new purpose, right? He gives us a new purpose, because we now, if we've trusted in Christ as our Lord and Savior, we now have a new purpose in life. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 18. Go with me here. The Bible continues to show us, so this verse shows us that He's given us a new life, right? That the change comes from Him. But if we continue on, look at what it says in verse 18. It says, "And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation." We know this, right? "To wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation." Verse number 20 says, "Now then we are ambassadors for Christ." Let's talk about all Christians, right? "As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ said, be ye reconciled to God." When you read this last verse that I just read, God's saying, now you have a new purpose in your life. Not only have it changed your life, your future was hell, eternal hell, eternal damnation. Your future was horrible. I changed that when you trusted in me. Not only have I changed your eternity, right? But now I've also been working in your life. And whenever you have something that you need to change, I've been changing it, and I can change it because I have the power to do it. Not only that, I've changed your purpose, your life's purpose. Before Christ, we had zero purpose. Our lives were meaningless. We worked and we lived for things that were temporary, are temporary. But now, thanks to God, our purpose has also changed. We have a new purpose. We have a new life, right? Our purpose now is to live for God, to live for the eternal things. And I love this. When we went to Colombia, I knew that God was going to do something, because He always does. Whenever you preach His word doesn't come back without doing something, right? He did great things. Now looking back, I realize what He did. He changed people's eternity. He changed people's purpose. Some of the people that are living there right now, they used to live for money. And by living for money, they got in debt. They thought that money was the answer to everything. Now that's changed. Now they have the only and true purpose in their lives. And that's what God does with every single one of us when we trust in Him. Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 8 through 10. Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 8 through 10. You must know that every Christian, every person that trusts in Christ, God says, you trust in me, it's new purpose. New life for you. Your new purpose in your life. Look at what He says right here. Ephesians chapter 8, verse number 8, chapter 2, I'm sorry, verse number 8, 9, and 10. Right? We know 8 and 9. Usually we quote that, no problem. Right? It says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is the gift of God." Verse number 9, "Not of works, lest any man should boast." Verse number 10, very important. It says, "For we Christians are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto," what's it say right there? "Good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." What this verse is saying right here, He's saying, you know, the moment that God saved you, He had already everything planned for your life, right? He already, when you became a Christian, your purpose knew. And He He has it all planned. He wants you to live for Him. That is your new purpose, right? We have a new purpose when God saves us. A new life. Now we live for Him. Before Christ, we were looking for a purpose. I know people that looked for a purpose in money. I know people that looked for a purpose in things, in a house, in a job. And they were constantly looking everywhere, but they couldn't find something that satisfied their souls. But the moment that they trusted in Christ, satisfied, right? No longer needing to look. No longer needing to search for a purpose in their lives, because God gave them that new purpose when they trusted in Him, right? That's our purpose now. We have a new purpose. You know what the purpose is? Matthew 6:33. Probably most of us know this verse. Matthew chapter 6, verse number 33. I love this passage. This passage shows us God's got it all under control. And all we got to do is trust in Him, right? That's what He says. Jesus is finishing his speech, and then He says, verse number 33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God. That's our purpose, to seek His kingdom and His righteousness. And it says, and all these things shall be added unto. Before we were looking for all those things, for our purpose, right? Before we were looking, we said, God, but I want to live for You, but then I need to provide for my family. I need to have, God says, no, you worry about the purpose that I gave you. You live for Me. You go and preach the gospel to people. You go and disciple people. I'll take care of you. That's your purpose, right? So He gave us a new purpose. Question here is, are you fulfilling the purpose that God has given you as a Christian? That's our purpose, to live for God. Your purpose is not to go and work a job. You work a job. God provided that job for you. But your purpose is to live the Christian life. To go and reach others. To go and make disciples, right? That's our purpose. The other things, we need it because God provides. But our purpose is to live for Him, to do His will. So tonight, three things. A change comes from God, right? Number one, I hope you've examined yourself. If you have not, please do it tonight. If there hasn't been a change in your life, something's wrong. There has to be a change. You need to look back in your life and say, hey, this is the moment when God changed my life forever, right? If that moment's not there, I beg you to please examine your life. And if it's not there, then you need to trust in Christ tonight, right? He will make a change in your life. He will give you a new life. Number one, examine yourself. Number two, remember that the change comes from God, right? We often try to change things ourselves. It doesn't work. It won't work. The only one who can change a person's heart, the only one who can change a person's life is God, right? And number three, He gives us a new purpose with this change. This is our new life, and it's an exciting and amazing life. Let me finish right here. You know, when you read the Bible, you see all these stories of the disciples, right? Jesus heals the sick here. I told you my accent is going to come out. He heals somebody here. He feeds the 5,000 here. He goes and does this miracle here and does this thing here. And the disciples are just like, what is going on? I mean, this is what we want to see. We want to see change, because they've been living with those people, and those people themselves, the one that He healed, they've been living like that for years. But Jesus came and brought change in their lives, good change. He did amazing things, miracles, right? That's what our lives should be like also. He wants to do great and mighty things in our lives. He wants to bring good and mighty changes in our lives too. Let me tell you a story, one last story. A sister named, I forget her name. It's not Jessica, but Sandra. When we got to Colombia, she had no purpose in her life. Nothing. She wasn't married. She had two sons. Her sons hated her, hated her family. One of them tried to kill her. It was horrible. I mean, a horrible story. When you get there, if you would have been there, I even thought, I was like, I don't even know how this is going to get fixed. I had no idea how to fix it. Good thing I didn't try to fix it, because God did. She came to Christ. She trusted in Christ. Today, she's married. Her son, one of them, is training to be a pastor. We're praying for him that he continues on that route. The other one, he is not there yet, but he's working and he's coming around. He's coming to church. I mean, things change 180 degrees, remember? God wants to do great things. And you and I should be going towards him and saying, God, what's next? Help me. Help my life. Change my life. I want to see how my life changes. Now I want to see how other people's lives change. So there needs to be a change. God brings a change when we go to him. Let's pray tonight. Father, I thank you tonight for your word. I thank you tonight for your message. Father, you are so good to us. Father, there's things that I've seen in my life that I would have never seen. Your power. How you work in people's lives. How you change lives. Father, that I'm so thankful for. And I know every single one of us here wants to see a change. Because when we trust in you, when we go to you, there is a change. There must be a change. That's what you do. That's what you did when you came on this earth. You put on flesh. You made changes everywhere. Good changes, Father. And that's what you want to do with our lives. Father, I pray if there's somebody here that has not trusted in Christ, may tonight be the night that they put their trust in Christ so they see the change that God can do in their lives. Father, I pray tonight that if there's a change that needs to happen in each one of our lives, that we go to you and say, God, I know you can change. I know you can change me. I know you can change other people. God, please change my life. Father, I pray tonight that you show us that we have that purpose, that new purpose that you've given us when you change our lives. Father, thank you so much for tonight. Thank you for this night. Thank you for your word. I pray all this in the name of Jesus Christ.